Okay, glory to God.
What a wonderful time surrounding the Lord's table tonight with you all. What a blessing it is to partake in the Lord's Supper. It's a special time. It's a time of reflection. It's a time of drawing closer to the Lord than we've been. And it's a time of symbolism where we recall what Jesus has done for us. We've literally taken him in. But it's also a time where we realize what happened to him on that cross, that body. That body of the Lord was broken. That blood of the Lord was shed. And we're now forgiven. Glory to God. Well, let's grab our hymnals tonight. This time, church will stand for our final hymn prior to the message. What a good, good service we're having. And please open up with me to 130, speaking of that blood. One of our favorite songs of all time around here. There is power in the blood. First, second, and fourth, folks. Of hymn 130. Yeah. Thank God for it. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? Hey, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb of the Fold. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live freely his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. Come on, church! There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Woo-hoo! Hey, good singing. Please be seated. Oh, yes, indeed, how we never get tired of singing that one because we simply know where the power lies in that holy blood. Oh, yes, indeed. Folks, let's grab our Bibles at this time for our Sunday evening message tonight and open up to the book of Revelation. Revelation, get yourself over to chapter 19. I see some smiles because you may know where I'm heading. We're getting so close, folks. And yes, indeed, what I'm about to preach on has to do with the second advent. But it's not the second coming itself that I'm going to preach on, as you'll see real quick. The year here is 95 AD. John, the Revelator, the last of the apostles to survive the first century, is nearing the century mark. He's old. He's been cast out of society into the Isle of Patmos. But he's not alone. The Lord Jesus was with him. He sees the vision of the Son of God in chapter 1. Glorious. Glorified. In heaven above. He sees him in all his incredible majesty. In chapters 2 and 3. He sees the coming church age, the age of grace. Represented by seven specific churches. A period of approximately 2,000 years. In chapter 4, something incredible happens. Verse 1 says, a door was opened in heaven and somebody goes up. The voice said, come up hither. A clear picture of the rapture. Now, from chapter 4, verse 1, all the way through chapter 19, verse 1, there is no mention of the church on earth. There is simply the graphic, detailed description of the tribulation period, which will last 7 years. Tonight, beloved, I want to speak a message to you that I've entitled, The Marriage of the Lamb. Because this is going to be the most special marriage that there's ever been. This is going to be the most special time that has ever occurred in the history of eternity. It's the marriage of the Lamb. And you are going to be part of it. I want to encourage you tonight. Beloved, look with me in chapter 19. Remain seated and look at verse number 1. John writes, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he had judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand." And again they said, "Alleluia!" And their smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, "Amen! Alleluia!" And a voice came out of the throne, saying, "Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, "Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." Father in heaven, how I thank you for the marriage of the Lamb. Lord, how I thank you for the incredible truths we've just read in these verses of Scripture. Lord, we thank you that we will be partakers in the marriage of the Lamb. We are the bride. Oh, Lord, we are his queen. Lord, we are his church. We are his people. And we will embrace him. And we will say, "I do." And he will say, "I do too." Lord, what a day that will be. The marriage of the Lamb. Lord, I'm so grateful tonight that I was born when I was born in 1958. Because, Lord, this gave me personal opportunity to become a part of the bride of Christ. Lord, I'm so thankful that I wasn't born in the Old Testament. I'm so grateful I wasn't born in the tribulation period. I'm so thankful I wasn't born at any other time period in the world's history. But in this time, where whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved and become part of the bride of the Lamb. Thank you for that tonight, Lord. I'm a little excited because I'm sensing we're getting closer. We're getting so close to this time coming to pass. We'll be raptured out of this sin-sick world prior to the commencement of tribulation, and we will be with our Lord forevermore. Then comes this incredible marriage of the Lamb. Oh, Lord, there's never been a marriage that could... I don't care how much money, how much fame, Hollywood, all their stupid marriages that don't last a month. I don't care about any of it. This is the one I'm looking forward to. The marriage of the Lamb of God. Glory to God. We ask you to bless your word tonight, Lord. We ask you to encourage your people. We ask you, Lord, to reveal to us deep truths, oh God, that will transform our lives and make us realize who we are tonight. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, church, this was not the message that I had planned to bring tonight, but the Lord seemed to impress upon me that now is the time. Time is short. And, you know, messages that the Lord lays on my heart, I got to preach before we're out of here. We want to leave behind the truths of Scripture for the world when they head into the tribulation period. We'll leave behind some 500 sermons for them to dote about. There can be no doubt that we are living in a time period where the Word of God has become an offense, if you will. The world does not want to hear this book. You can read any other book. You can quote Shakespeare. You can read anything except this book. And I'll tell you why. This book is unlike any other book. This is the Word of God. And they don't want to hear God. We're seeing all of the signs coming to pass, beloved, for our Lord's soon return. In the midst of all this, God is calling out a people, a special people called Christians, who will be a part of the bride of His Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Let's notice a few things concerning the marriage of the Lamb tonight. I said I want to encourage you. Let me give you six. First, notice the size of the bride. Now, I'm not talking width-wise. I'm talking numerically. Some people get the wrong idea there. Notice the size of the bride. Verse 5, we read, "And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." It's the bride. And notice the words, great multitude, many waters, mighty thundering. Folks, I'm here to tell you tonight, the size of the bride is enormous. We are huge. We do not realize. We look around here in church tonight, we got some empty pews. But I've got good news, church. There are millions upon millions, even billions of true believers. We are the bride. Oh yes, we are numerically huge. I'm so thankful for that. Look at verse 8. If you're still there in Revelation 19, verse 8. "And to her," the bride, "was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. God cannot lie. He says, if you are part of the bride, you are eternally, capital B, blessed. Wow. I love the fact that she is arrayed in fine linen, even the righteousness of God. Wow. What a privilege we have, beloved. The size of the bride is enormous, and we need to realize we're not alone, church. There are countless multitudes of true believers in this world who still love Jesus Christ and worship Him. Secondly, tonight, notice what the bride says. Verse 6, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Woo! I love what she says. She says, notice the wording, "the Lord God omnipotent." She's pointing to the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the world, the King of eternity, the bridegroom. And she says, He is the Lord God, in case you doubt, omnipotent, all powerful. He is almighty. Verse number 6. And notice the last word, He reigneth. He reigneth. I'm here to tell you, church, tonight, oh man, I have fun preparing this, because Jesus Christ, our Lord God, omnipotent, is going to reign the universe forever and ever. And we are His bride. We are His special queen. We are part of Him, of His blood, of His bones, of His body. Now notice here, in what the bride says, that they all unanimously believe in the lordship of Jesus Christ. Say, Pastor, how do you know that? Oh, that's by what they say. They call Him Lord God omnipotent. They say, He's the Lord, I'm His servant. You see that? They believe in the lordship of Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 1, flip back real quick to chapter 1. Look at this. In Revelation chapter 1, look with me at verse 5. And John, the angel of the Lord, writes, "And peace to you from Jesus Christ," verse 5, "who is the faithful witness," He's faithful, church, "and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." You won't get that down the Catholic Church. "And hath made us," what? "Kings and priests unto God His Father." To Him, not the Father, to Him the Son, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Wow. The bride says, He is Lord. The Father has ordained it that all glory should go to Him. Wow. Can you imagine God the Father being so humble that He says, I just want you to worship my Son. Don't worry about me. You want to make me happy? Fall down before Him and crown Him as your King. Why? Because they're one and they're equal. Acts 20, verse 28 says of Jesus Christ, He purchased the church with His own blood. God. That was God purchasing the church with His own blood. I'm so thankful we had the Lord's table tonight. Thinking about that precious blood. Wow! It's awesome. Thirdly, tonight, not only the size of the bride, not only what the bride says, but thirdly, notice the bride's disposition. I like this. Her disposition is unique. Back to Revelation 19. Look at verse 7. Let us be what? Glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. Now, folks, notice right away, the disposition of this bride is that she is happy to the umpth degree. She, verse 7, she's glad and she rejoices with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why? You ever seen a bride and she's madly in love on her wedding day and she's finally being joined to that one whom God has brought to her for life? The joy in her eyes, the glow, the glistening. You ever seen an ugly bride? Nope. I don't care what they weigh. I don't care how short or how tall they are. You've always seen them. They look beautiful of countenance on their wedding day because they're full of joy, rejoicing, and they're glad. They're glad that that day has come. She's happy. John 16, verse 22, Jesus says, Your heart in that day shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Folks, listen to me. There's coming a day when the devil will never again, situation, circumstances will never again rob us of our joy forever. Why? We'll be looking Him in the face, His glorious face. And you can't pout when you've got Jesus in front of you. Oh, her disposition is one of great joy, great happiness. Folks, listen to me. The world out there tonight needs to see something different in you and me. They need to see a people who have hope. A people who have a true, genuine joy within that God put there. You know what they need? They need joy and rejoicing in Jesus Christ. That's what they need, though they don't know it. You do. I'm so thankful for her disposition. It's one of great glory, great joy, great peace, great happiness. Let us be glad. Fourthly tonight, notice the bride's preparation. Verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. Oh me, oh my. I love this verse. Notice the bride's preparation. You know what the bride does on her wedding day? She gets her hair done. She gets her makeup fixed. She gets her beautiful gown that she picked out. And she gets decked out. What's she doing? She's making herself ready. Ready for that ceremony. She wants to look her absolute best for her groom. Right? This bride does the same thing. Only we do it spiritually. We're getting ready. Ready, ready, ready. We're getting ready for the Lord to come, take us home to heaven, and have the marriage of the Lamb. She's prepared. She's made arrangements for to look her very best. How many of you have seen the Subaru commercial with the Dundee guy from Australia? He's driving a Subaru through the outback and it's all mud, you know, it's all muddy pads. And the bride, he's going to a wedding, but he's late. And the bride steps out of her house. She's all decked in white, beautiful gown. She's got her makeup, her hair's all done. And he comes by about 50 miles an hour, right in a mud puddle, and splashes mud all over. How many of you seen that commercial? And he keeps going, right? And she's like, oh! He gets to the wedding. She comes in the aisle full of mud, just caked on her. Full, you can't even tell it's her. She's full of mud. And she comes down the aisle. And Dundee turns and he goes, all right, that's my kind of girl. No, now, folks, that's a commercial on television. But I guarantee you will never see a bride full of mud on her wedding day. You will never see that. That's fiction. That's television. Why? Because every bride makes herself ready. Are you making yourself ready? Are you getting purred up for the Lord? Oh, church, I'm here to tell you tonight, it's getting ready time. It's getting ready time. He's coming, and he's wanting us to be ready for his return. Revelation 21, look at it. Flip over a page, you'll be there. 21, verse 2. She's ready. She's ready. Look at it. Verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. What's the next word? Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. She's prepared. She's ready. She's coming down. But notice, we're not coming up from the earth for this wedding. We're already in heaven when the wedding day comes. We've been raptured. Another key rapture verse, by the way. Drop down to verse number 9. Same chapter. Look at verse number 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. He says, John, I want you to see something very special. There's never been a bride that can compare to this one, because she's spotless within and without. This is why this bride is acceptable unto the Lamb of God. She has no sin. She has the righteousness of God. She's perfect. She's ready. I love it. And he says, John, I want to show thee the most beautiful bride that you'll ever see in your entire life. In fact, she's the most beautiful bride in all of eternity. And the devil knows it. The devil knows it. I'm so thankful. Fifthly, tonight, notice the bride's attire. What is she wearing? Look at verse 8. Chapter 19, verse 8. And to her was granted, notice the wording carefully, that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Now notice here in verse number 8 that a particular attire is given to her. Folks, you can't make yourself righteous. It's a gift of God. And it says it was granted unto her for having believed on this Lamb of God and received him personally to be arrayed in fine linen. What's the next word? Clean and white. That means no sin. No sin. That's what we'll be wearing. Yes, indeed. The righteousness of God. She's decked with spotless attire. Two things concerning her attire I want to call your attention to. First, look at verse 8. First, about this attire, it was a gift. It was a gift. She didn't earn it and she didn't deserve it. It was granted unto her that she be thus arrayed. Secondly, it was without fault. It was without fault. It is the righteousness of saints. It's fine linen like you've never seen before. It's white as snow. Not a single dark spot on it. Folks, I got something else for you. Notice sixthly, finally, the bride's blessing. Oh, don't miss this. Look at verse 9. He saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Now, beloved, I'm here to tell you in closing tonight, for this bride, there is eternal blessings. This bride will never ever want. She will never ever suffer. She will never ever lack anything in all of eternity future. Because she is the bride of the Son of God. You need to realize tonight who you are. You need to get a hold of who you are, identification in Jesus Christ. You are his bride. You are his chosen. You are his queen. You are so special to him tonight, he won't let that devil have you. Hello? You are so special to him tonight, he won't let the world have you. You are so special tonight, he won't let sin have you. He's already saved you from it all. We just need to realize it. Our bridegroom, he is the most powerful bridegroom there has ever existed in all of eternity. And he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But in closing, go with me to Matthew chapter 22. A sad passage. Matthew chapter 22. Sad, why? Because this queen, this bride, it's not for everyone. It's not for everyone. It's only for those who will come to the Lamb. Look with me in Matthew chapter 22. Don't miss this. The bride's blessing is absolutely immeasurable. In Matthew 22, verse 1, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a what? Marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they would not come. Doesn't say they could not come. It says they would not come. The will is involved, folks. Don't listen to the Calvinist. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed. All things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. What? They went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Wait a minute. They didn't only reject the invitation of the king, they killed his messengers. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Folks, this passage is directly concerning what we're reading about in Revelation chapter 19. He says, will you come to my marriage? Will you be a part of my bride? Will you? And the saddest verse, I think, in the Bible, in verse 3 says, and they would not. They would not come. Wow. Folks, you know, I don't know about you, but my heart breaks for those people I know who are lost and they won't come to Jesus Christ. Not because they can't, because they won't. They won't. An act of the will, an act of rebellion against their Maker, saying, I don't want him. How sad. How sad. Some came to the marriage. That's the good news. Some came. Some would not. But what about you? What about you here tonight? Have you accepted that invitation? Have you become part of that bride? Do you know that you know that you know you're part of that wedding ceremony as the bride of Christ? Because there's nothing better than knowing that you are a part of his bride. I've got good news tonight, church. If you're here tonight, you're not sure that if you died tonight, you'd be in heaven. I want you to become part of this bride tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Lord, we thank you for the message tonight that the marriage of the Lamb is about to take place, because the rapture of the church is about to take place. All the prophecies are about to unfold. Every word of God shall be fulfilled. We know this tonight because we know God. And Lord, our hearts are yearning, breaking and grieving for the multitudes of earth dwellers who are not a part of the bride of Christ. Lord, they're alive physically, but they're dead spiritually. Lord, they know not of what we speak. They know not the joyful sound because they have not experienced salvation and regeneration by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Father, our prayer tonight is that as a result of this message, many, many will come to know Jesus Christ as their bridegroom, to know Jesus Christ as their Lamb of God, to know Jesus Christ as their soon coming King, that they can know that they will be part of the marriage of the Lamb. Oh Lord, I pray for souls all over this world to hear this message and to call upon the name of Jesus Christ, repenting of sin, turning away from their own way of doing things, and accepting the blood sacrifice of the Lamb of God for their salvation. Being born again, being spiritually regenerated, being born of God. and becoming part of the bride, the queen. Oh, Lord, I pray tonight that you would use this simple message to bring souls to salvation. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. We will have a short invitation tonight. And perhaps, I see everybody in church is saved tonight. But perhaps you would like to come to the altar and pray for one that is not. One that you care deeply about. One that you want to see become part of the bride of Christ. One that you want to see worshiping the Lord with us here in this church. If so, you come to the altar on this song. Let's open it up to hymn 126. William Cowper wrote, "There is a fountain in..." Oh yes, they're coming already. Praise the Lord. Kneel at our altar and just let it out. The Lord will meet you there. First, third, and fourth, folks, of 126. First, third, and fourth. We thank the Lord for the words of this hymn. Goes along with the message and the Lord's table tonight. There's a fountain filled with blood. Emmanuel's blood. Amen. First, third, and fourth.
There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Their guilty stains lose all their guilty stains. Heaven is plunged beneath that blood. Lose all their guilty stains. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood will never lose its power. Some church of God be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. Till all the ransom church of God be saved to sin. By faith I saw that stream, thy flowing wounds applied. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. And it shall be till I die. Yes, it shall be till I die. Redeeming blood has been my theme, and shall be till I die.
Oh, glory to God. What a great day, church, we've had together. I'm so thankful for you faithful ones that keep on listening to this loudmouth Baptist preacher. Oh, such a blessing to have you in the house of God. And I tell you, it's going to be something special when we get up yonder, folks. Oh, I am so grateful. Father in heaven, how we thank you for what a great day you've given us. Lord, our hearts are full of joy tonight. I like that verse 9. It's in her, verse 7, in her disposition, she was glad and rejoiced. Lord, we are so thankful tonight that that day is coming. But the good news is, we don't have to wait until the marriage of the Lamb to rejoice and be glad. Because we can rejoice and be glad tonight. Lord, because we know these things, it's as if it's already done. Lord, I'm so thankful that you encompass all of eternity simultaneously. There is no time with you, Lord. There is no past, present, or future with you, Lord. Time is for man. Lord, I'm so thankful that in your eyes, we're already married to the Lamb. We've already had the ceremony. We're already His forevermore. Lord, we're so thankful tonight for the sound doctrine you've given us this day. Lord, we're so thankful that each of us have banked our immortal souls upon what saith the Scripture. Lord, we are grateful for a book that has every answer to any problem we face in our lives. The Word of God, the Bible. We're thankful, Lord, that there's never been a book like it. There never will be after it. It is a one of a kind, sent from heaven. And Lord, we thank you that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you, Lord, that it will take us all the way to the gates of glory, to the streets of gold, to the angels of heaven, but especially to Jesus Christ, our bridegroom. Lord, I don't care about all that other stuff. The song said, I want to see Jesus. I just want to see Jesus. We love you tonight and we thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, people.